بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وموالاه. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من العباد، ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء، حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا، فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على محمد في أول كلامنا، اللهم صل على محمد في أوسط كلامنا، اللهم صل على محمد في آخر كلامنا. As the Sheikh has mentioned the topic to you, acquiring Islamic knowledge from the right sources. Why is it so important? On one side, Almighty Allah refers to the Holy Quran as قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. That Allah has sent down a nur, a light, a guidance. And Allah has used the same word for Tawrah. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا التَّوْرَاةَ فِيهَا هُدًى وَنُورٌ. Indeed, we sent down Tawrah. In it was nur, guidance, light, which was showing the way. The word which Allah has used for the Holy Quran, nur, hudan, Allah has used similar words for Tawrah, Nur, Huda, same words. But yet, when one day Umar radiallahu anhu opened up Tawrah in front of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Prophet of Allah, this is Tawrah which was given to Musa alayhi salam before. Can I read a few paragraphs? Can I read a few parts of it? So as Umar radiallahu anhu started reading from that, the color of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face started changing. Umar radiallahu anhu did not realize that I am reading, but on the other side there's something else happening. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to nudge him that, Umar, what are you doing? Look. Look at the face of Nabi alayhi salam. So when he raised his head and he saw the blessed face of Nabi alayhi salam with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to get angry, there was a vein between his eyes which used to show عند الغضب. كانت عظم يطغ عند الغضب. There was a vein that was here that you could see, and his face used to get red, as if somebody has sprinkled some redness on it. He never used to shout at anybody. He never used to become physical about it. This was the anger of Nabi alayhi salam. Just by seeing at him, people used to see that something's not well here, something's not right. Look at the face of Nabi alayhi salam. So Umar radiallahu anhu understood that what I am doing at the moment, maybe it's not something which Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is agreeing to. So immediately, in order to cool the anger of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam down, he started reciting, رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ wa sallam نَبِيًّا. I am happy that Allah is my Lord. I am happy that Islam is my deen. I am happy that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my prophet. As he continued reading, one after the other time, then the anger of Nabi alayhi salam cooled down. And then Nabi alayhi salam turned to Umar. He said, you are reading Tawrah, which nobody can deny that it wasn't sent down by Allah. Allah sent it down. In fact, a person came to Maulana Umar Sahib Palampuri rahimahullah, and he said, is the Quran the only book sent down by Allah? Why can't we take guidance from Tawrah? Why can't we take guidance from Injil? Why can't we take guidance from all these other scriptures? they were all sent out by God also. So why do we just stick to Quran? Because every prophet that came, it is part of our iman that they came with the message of Islam. They came with the, they were all Muslims, every prophet that came. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a Muslim. Dawood alayhi salam was a Muslim. Isa alayhi salam was a Muslim. Musa alayhi salam was a Muslim. None of them came with different religions. They all came with the same religion of Islam. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيَّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيَّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Ibrahim was not a Jew. He was not a Christian. He was a Muslim. So a person, he came to Mawla Umayyah Sahib and he said, why can't we read the other books? Is it not guidance for us? If it was sent down by God, if it was sent down by Almighty Allah. So what an amazing reply given by Hazrat Mawlana, may Allah fill his grave with Noor. He said, have you seen a child? She said, yes, many children out there. Every child is born, many children are born daily. She said, have you seen a child growing up? And then as it grows up, there's clothes which fits the child at certain times. And as he grows up, that same clothing don't fit the child. So when a child was 5 years old, the clothes he used to wear, now that same clothes will not fit him when he gets to 10 years old. And when the child is 10, the clothes he wears, by the time he gets to 15, the same clothes will not fit him. So he said, Torah was fit for the Muslims at that time, it does not fit the Muslims today. Injil was fit for the Muslims at that time, it is not fit for the Muslims today. But like the child, when he gets to a certain age, and when it fully matures, fully grows up, then one size of clothing will fit him for the rest of his life. He gets to maybe 18, 20. Now he can wear that one size, if he doesn't put on weight, of course. If the stomach doesn't come out, otherwise every few days he'll be running to the clothes shop. But it's the same way when Allah sent down the Quran, by that time, if Muslim and Islam had fully matured. So now it is only the Quran and the way of Nabi alayhi salam that will fit the whole entire Muslim until the day of Qiyamah, until for the rest of the time. Torah was there, but it doesn't fit the Muslim today. Injil was there, but it doesn't fit the Muslim today. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he was reading something which Allah has called guidance, but it wasn't the correct source of knowledge at that time. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not very happy with it. What we need to understand today is that we need to learn deen from people and not just from things. Today it is hard to go by people, to go in the company of people. It is easy to just look up things. As the Sheikh mentioned, very easy. Just sit at home with a milkshake and just Google up things. But going to people is a hard thing. Surah Al-Fatiha, which we recite 18 times every day in our fara'id. And if we add up the sunnah, the sunan, the nawafil, then it goes up to maybe 50 times or something. And every time we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide me to the right path. A Hindu, he raised an objection that Muslim claim they are on guidance, yet every time they stand up for Salah, they are saying, Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim. So are they on guidance? So why are they making dua for another type of guidance? And if they are, as if they feel they are not really on guidance, that's why every time they are making dua for guidance. What we are really making dua for is, oh Allah, guide me and keep me on guidance. It is easy to start something, but it is hard to maintain it. It is hard to be steadfast to it. It is easy for 1 month of the year for the masajid to be full. It is easy for one day of the week, one Jumu'ah, the masajid to be full. Everybody turning up. Is it easy? It is easy to recite Quran the blessed nights when it comes, but it is difficult to stick to it daily. That's the difficult part. So, oh Allah, you are guiding me, but keep me on guidance. Then Allah mentions, what is guidance? What guidance are we asking for? صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path of those you have favored. Allah didn't say the path you have favored, the path of those you have favored. Can you just imagine the wording which Allah is using in the Quran? The Isharatul Nas here is telling us, the indication of the text of the Quran is telling us, that the success, true guidance lies in following people and not following things. May Allah make us from among those people. So, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, the path of those you have favored, not the path that you have favored. There are many scholars today. Today we may ask, okay, we come to a conclusion, we need to take guidance from scholars. We need to learn from ulama, we need to learn from mashayikh. Which mashayikh do we follow? There are many out there who are claiming to be ulama, who are claiming to be shuyukh, who are claiming to be ustaz, who are claiming to be imam. Who do we follow? Let me tell you a quotation by Salma ibn Dinar. Salma ibn Dinar is a tabi'i who saw Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And can you just imagine that era of Sahaba, that era of tabi'in, that he actually saw Sahaba, he learned from them. So there were many scholars that time, many Sahaba, many students of Sahaba, and everybody had their own gatherings, everybody had their own circle of learning, everybody had their own halaqa. So his son got confused, that which one shall I go to? Each scholar is saying something different. Not that Islam is different, but the way of presenting Islam is different. The rulings, the way it is explained is different to the other. Because Allah has made everybody different. No, not every finger, not all the fingers are the same. Each size, each finger has its own size. So every human has his own way of explaining things. So who do we follow? His own son asked him, oh my father, there are so many Sahaba, so many students of Sahaba, so many shuyukh. And who could be better shuyukh than the Sahaba who learned directly from Nabi alayhi salam? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he spent 3 years learning by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just over 3 years. His day was Nabi alayhi salam, his night was Nabi alayhi salam. And he became from among the greatest Sahabi who narrates the most ahadith, over 5,375 ahadith, you can say. And then he says, this is only one pot. Hafidtu min Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya'a'ain. I gathered 2 pots of knowledge from Nabi alayhi salam. 2 pots. Amma ahaduhuma fabasathu. As for one of the pot, I've told the people about it. That's where you get this 5,000 and odd ahadith from. I've told, as from the one pot, as for the other pot, if I was to tell the people about it, they wouldn't let me live anymore, they would cut my throat, they would kill me. Now the ulama argue, what was in that other pot? What was in there that was so critical, that was so difficult for him to say, which could cost his life? What could that be? Then ulama, they say it could be the names of the munafiqeen of the time, it could be the times of fitna, it could be the times of trials and tribulations of the ummah. But Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu didn't tell the people about that other pot, and he took that with him in the grave. Now, if that 3 years staying with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he only told the Ummah one pot, which he said one pot, and that adds up to the most ahadith any other Sahabi has narrated. Can you just imagine the other? Sitting by the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Salma ibn Dinar, his son, asked him, "Oh my father, many shuyukh, who do we follow?" So his son, his father, Salma ibn Dinar, told the son, "Oh my son, follow that scholar. Iqtadi biman yakhaf Allah fi dhahri al-ghayb. The one who fears Allah even in privacy." His public life, his private life is the same. His appearance in front of the people on his own is the same. His taqwa when he's in the people, he's away from the people is the same. We need to do our homework on the scholars we are learning deen from. Just because they've got a big following on YouTube, or they've got a lot of views, or they've got a big following on all these social media, you can say we'll have another talk, another discussion on that on Sunday inshallah. But just because in the social world there's a big following, is that the only criteria? Follow that scholar who fears Allah in public and in private. There is no difference between his public life and his private life. He'll tell you to do something, and in private he himself will be on it as well. He will be stopping himself in front of people from doing something, and in private he'll also be doing the same. And the second one, وَيَكُفُّ نَفْسَهُ عَنِ التَّلَبُّسِ بِالْعَيْبِ, and he stops himself from insulting others. He doesn't talk bad about other people. That group is like this, that scholar is like this, that institution is such and such, don't go there, don't go there. He just sticks to what he needs to do, and he continues trying to guide people, trying to teach people. If you find these two qualities in a person, and he's knowledgeable, don't ask any more questions, follow him. He will guide you to Jannah. He will go to Jannah, he will take you with him. May Allah give us very few of these caliber found in the world today. I am nowhere near being a scholar, and the Sheikh made a big introduction which was nowhere near what I am. I am nowhere near it. May Allah forgive me. I myself is a student, and I would like to remain a student. The only reason I accepted being here today, so that I can also learn from yourself and the other shuyukh that are here. I myself is a student. So the person who fears Allah, follow him. Atta ibn Abi Rabah is amongst those tabi'i. As his appearance goes, as his physical feature goes, he was very, you can say, he never had the looks, he never had the body. According to some narration, he was lame, he couldn't walk properly. According to some narration, he couldn't see properly, he was partially sighted. So basically, as his physical features goes, he was completely disabled. Or you can say, semi-disabled. But he started learning knowledge from Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. When the Imam, before the Imam used to come for khutbah, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu used to stand up and he used to give a talk. "Oh people, listen to what I have to say. I heard it directly from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen to it. Understand it properly, tell others about it." And he used to say this until the Imam used to come and to do the khutbah. Can you just imagine how much knowledge Allah has given him? One of the signs of Qiyamah which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions is that a time will come when knowledge will be taken away and ignorance will be all over the place spread out. Ignorance will be everywhere, knowledge will be absent. Now this is a sign of Qiyamah which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions. The time before Qiyamah this will happen. Today there is plenty of information, plentiful of knowledge, plenty of them. Everywhere you look, every website, every message you receive, quote of the day, quote of the week, hadith of the day, hadith of the week, advice of the day, every day you've got something telling you something. So it's all spread out all over the place. Is it benefiting anybody? Is it benefiting myself? I have spread it out on my social media where thousands are reading. Somebody may benefit. Am I benefiting? Is it benefiting me? So, if you see, like, just to give you an example, there is a whole puddle of water. Rain comes down and there's a whole big puddle. It looks a lot of water. It seems like there's so much water here. It's a big puddle. But nobody can make wudu from it. Nobody can drink a cup of water from it because it looks a lot, but it's not deep. It's not clean enough. The deeper it is, the cleaner it is. But because it's so shallow, it's not clean, so it's not benefiting anybody. On the other hand, you get a little hole in the ground, which you call a well, which goes deep down. I have to mention these things because the youngsters of today, they don't know what wells are. They only know taps. And they only know the coolers. But there was a time when there used to be wells. If you know what that still is, you can just... So, it just looks like a hole in the ground. According to, in comparison to the puddle, it's just like a little fraction. But it is so deep, it is so clean, hundreds can make wudu from it, hundreds can take a shower from it, thousands can drink it. Well, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when he's mentioning the qualities of the Sahaba, he doesn't say, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ أَكْثَرُهُمْ عِلْمًا. He doesn't say, those were the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had the most knowledge. He doesn't say this. What does he say? أَعْمَقُهُمْ عِلْمًا. Their knowledge was deep. Their understanding was deep. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, أَنْتَ فَقِيهُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. You are the faqih of my ummah. Nabi alayhi salam is saying to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, a person who's so thin, who's so skinny, that when he stood, when he climbed the tree to pull some twigs out to make siwak, miswak, some sahaba, they started laughing. It just looks like a piece of wood up there. Nabi alayhi salam is saying, you are laughing at a person who apparently may be so skinny, may only seem like a piece of wood. But when it comes to knowledge, when it comes to Iman, he's so weighty, even Mount Uhud would be put to one side. The knowledge was deep. أَعْمَقُهُمْ عِلْمًا. The knowledge was deep. That is why we don't see division among the Sahaba much. We don't see divisions. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the ocean of knowledge. Umar radiallahu anhu was the ocean of knowledge. But how they were united. Uthman radiallahu anhu had the ocean of knowledge. But how they were united. Today a person has a bit of knowledge, he can't get along with the person next to him. Look, I've got my views, I've got my research. He doesn't want to listen to me, he doesn't want to my way or the highway, he can go his own way. Is this what we learn from the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhu? Knowledge is something that should be uniting the ummah, not dividing the ummah. Because it is not being taken from the right places. The diseases that I am mentioning are because of not taking it from the right sources. Right places. So Asa ibn Abi Rabah, physically the world may have called him disabled, but when it came to knowledge wise, when it came to the ilm of nubuwa, ilm of hadith, ilm of tafsir, ilm of fiqh, he is amongst the teachers of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Amongst his teachers. Why? He took knowledge from the right places. He took knowledge from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu an. He took knowledge from Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, who took it from Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Knowledge was taken from the right places. The world benefited. The world got united on it. Like Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, when he went for Hajj, then he went for the haircut to the barbers. So he asked the barbers, how much will you charge me for a haircut? I need a haircut. So the barber is telling him, don't you know, this is part of the manasik of Hajj. This is part of the rituals of pilgrimage. And when it comes to the rituals of deen, you shouldn't be discussing finance. So sit down, I'll give you a haircut. Whatever you want to give, you can give later on. Don't discuss it. It's not a money-making thing. You need to do your ritual, you need to fulfill it. Let's not discuss finance here. So Imam Abu Hanifa, he got shocked. He said, people, the world calls me an imam, but now this ruling, the Baba is telling me what to do. So now he sits down. So as he sits down, he doesn't notice that he's not facing the Qibla when he's having the haircut. So the Baba tells him, face the Qibla. Face the Qibla. So now he sits facing the Qibla. Now he's a bit more ashamed that the world is calling me imam, but the Baba is telling me another ruling of how to go around doing things. Then he just wants to get it over and done with. He just wants to say that before I get ashamed anymore, let me just get it over and done with. So he points that, please cut my hair. So he doesn't realize which direction he's pointing in, and he ends up pointing in the left direction. So the Baba is telling him, don't you know we should be starting from the right? Don't you know we should be starting from the right? Like Aisha radiallahu anha says, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to love doing everything with his right hand, until when he used to comb his hair, until when he used to put his shoes on, he used to use his right hand. Our right hand should be the most active hand in our life, for all the good things. When you want to take something, right hand, make wudu, right hand, wear clothing, right hand, make drinking something, right hand, eating, right hand. The left hand, when you are relieving yourself, then that is used for cleaning. Besides that, most of the activity should be done with the right hand. Make your right hand, anybody gives you anything, right hand. You want to give something to anybody, right hand. You want to do a catch, right hand. Make it so able, make it so active, that on the day of Qiyamah, when the books of deeds will be thrown, your right hand goes forward to collect it. Make it so active. And Allah loves the right as well. Allah says in the Quran, when He called Musa alayhi salam to talk to Him, when He called Musa alayhi salam to converse with Him, Musa alayhi salam was the Kaleem of Allah. He actually spoke to Allah. So Allah said, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ. We called Him to the Mount of Tur, but not any side of it. We called Him to the right hand side of it. May Allah give us the understanding. If we make our right hand the active one, the right side, everything we try to do with the right, then inshallah, it is a good hope that when the books of deed will be thrown on the day of Qiyamah, automatically our right hand will go for it. May Allah make it such. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. So he says, don't you know, you should be starting from the right, and you are pointing towards the left. So Imam Abu Hanifa says, no, I'm not going to say anything now. Every time I say something, he's getting against me. He's not helping me in any way. So he's sitting there quietly. So now the Baba says, you are still in Ihram. Why are you sitting there quietly? Say the Talbiyah, say the Takbir. Kabir. So now he's getting even more ashamed. That so far this Baba has taught me four rulings which he had to teach me. And then as the haircut comes to an end, then he's about to go. She said, where are you going now? She said, I'm just going back to my group. She said, first read two rakat, then you can go. So Imam Abu Hanifa says, I asked the person, where did you learn this from? She said, I go and attend the gatherings of Atta ibn Abi Rabah, who taught me these things. Atta ibn Abi Rabah learned it from Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu Hurairah, who learned it from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So knowledge has been passed down person to person, people to people. That is why Imam Abu Hanifa always says that I am indebted to this Baba for teaching five rulings of Hajj which I didn't know. Even this became his ustad. Learn from people. Learn from the right people who have learned from the right people. May Allah give us understanding. Today, going out to learn hadith, traveling for hadith, has become something which is foreign. Ja'far ibn Durusturiya says, Ali ibn Madini, who was the ustad of Imam Shafi'i also, he used to give the lesson of hadith. The amount of people that used to attend the hadith in order that we can get a good spot in front of the Shaykh and we can hear him properly, we had to come a whole day early so we could sit there, because if we would have come any later, we would have lost the spot, we couldn't hear the Shaykh properly. So they would sacrifice a whole day, they would come a whole day early, sit on that spot, read salah there, eat there, sleep there, so they could get a good spot, so they could hear the ahadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam properly. Jabir ibn Abdullah says, I learned that one sahabi is narrating one hadith from Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which I haven't heard directly. And that person is Abdullah ibn Unais al-Ansari. So I actually saved up, I bought a conveyance, I took a whole month journey to Syria, and I said to this guard that please go and tell Abdullah ibn Unais that Jabir is at the door, he's only here to listen to one hadith which he knows that you have heard it from Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you can please come out and just mention the hadith, then he can go. So he said, come inside. So he said, no, I am here just to listen to this one hadith about mazalim. I fear that if I may die, you may die, and I may leave this world without listening to this hadith of the Nabi Salam. Thirst for knowledge, zeal for knowledge. Baqi ibn Makhlad Andalusi, he left his house from Spain twice. The first time he went, he never came back to his house for 20 years. Then he went out again. 14 years he never came back. And he went to learn by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, who has gathered in his Musnad over 27,000 ahadith. And each hadith he has acted upon. Today, I know so much. How much is part of my life? On the day of Qiyamah, one of the questions that he'll be asked, Allah will not ask how much knowledge did you have. That will not be the question. One of the questions will be, the knowledge that you were given, how much was it in action? How much was it part of your life? May Allah give us understanding. Was it active, the knowledge? Was it active? Or was it just disabled? You just knew about it and that's about it. You never followed it. When we tell people, sometime in practical life, brother, you know the Quran says this, you shouldn't be doing this. It's so easy, but Malana, I know, but who's following the Quran today? Who's following the Ahadith today? If nobody is following, shouldn't I be following it? And today we know so little, yet we are so boastful about it. So when he went by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah said, that look, I have been banned. There's a bar against me. I'm not allowed to teach hadith to anybody due to the political reasons of the time. So you have traveled all the way, but I can't help you. How am I going to teach the hadith through you? If somebody finds out, my life is also in danger, your life is also in danger. So he says, look, I am not a poor person. Allah has given a lot to my family in Spain. But in order to just learn hadith, I will act like a beggar. So every day, I will start in the morning, wear tatty clothes, I will go house to house, please give me something, please give me something, somebody may shun me, somebody may swear at me, somebody may drop a coin in my hand, somebody may just slam the door on my face. But when I come to your door, you just mention one or two hadith to me, that's enough for me. Just to listen to hadith from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he act like a beggar. How much they went through just to learn? Hadith from the right sources, knowledge from the right sources. May Allah give us understanding. It's so important that today we give sacrifice for knowledge. Today we are ready to give sacrifice for work. A person doesn't mind moving another part of the world just so that he can get a good job there. A person doesn't mind moving to another area in the world just that he can get a good wife, a good partner there. But when a person has to move or he has to travel for knowledge, said, like, what's the need? Do we really need to do this in this day and age? He has become completely absent. Traveling for hadith, learning knowledge from the right sources, looking up knowledge from the right people of knowledge. And when Allah is talking about asking rulings, Allah doesn't say, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الْعِلْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know this issue. Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of remembrance, ask the people who remember Allah if you don't know. Meaning they not only have the knowledge, but 24/7 they are remembering Allah. Their life is filled with dhikr. Their life is filled with applying, trying to act upon that knowledge. They not only talk about Quran and Sunnah, they walk Quran and Sunnah. Today you will find many people in the world who will be talking Quran and Sunnah, hardly any in the world who will be walking Quran and Sunnah. May Allah make us from among those. It is easy to talk the talk, hard to walk the walk. When Musa alayhi salam, he was standing with his people, one incident before I finish. Musa alayhi salam, he was standing with his people and somebody asked, who's the most knowledgeable? Now Musa alayhi salam had the right to say that I am the most knowledgeable. Allah sends revelation to me. I am getting wahi. So I'm the most knowledgeable around here. Allah didn't like. Because the more knowledge a person should have, the more humility he should have. The more fear of Allah he should have. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah didn't say, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. The people of knowledge are the one who fear him. Allah says, from his slaves, those who have fear him the most are the ulama. Meaning, if a person doesn't have the quality of slavery in him, having humility, subservient to Allah, having that fear of Allah, he is not being worth called an alim. He is not worth being called a scholar. The more knowledgeable he is, the more abdiyya he should have. So Allah didn't like this. So Allah says, no, I have a slave who is more knowledgeable than you. So Musa alayhi salam immediately, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. The prophets of Allah were thirsty for knowledge. And Allah says, above every knowledgeable person, Allah is the most knowledgeable. Nobody can beat the knowledge of Allah. So then the story is long. It comes in Surah Al-Kahf. May Allah give us the ability to recite it. Every Friday we should make a habit. If we haven't read it, if we don't have a habit, we should make a habit of it, reciting it. Especially in this age of fitna, where daily we are coming into different types of fitan, and it is becoming difficult to safeguard our iman. Daily we are hearing of cases where in the morning they were Muslims, before the evening came they lost the iman. We hear so many cases today. What is, as the Islam is the fastest growing religion, and daily there's somebody accepting Islam somewhere, as they say in America, daily there's somebody taking Shahada, at the same rate, if not faster, there are people leaving Islam as well. On one side, Allah is getting people into Islam. On the other side, Allah is snatching people away from Islam. وَيَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. Allah will replace you. وَيَأْتِ بِقَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ. وَيَأْتِ بِقَوْمٍ جَدِيدٍ. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. Allah has mentioned this 6 different places in 6 different ways in the Quran. Allah will replace you. Allah will bring another nation in your place. If you won't do the job properly, Allah doesn't need you. Allah will take it away from you. Allah will give it to somebody else. On one side, Islam is the fastest growing religion, but so many Muslims are getting snatched away from the iman also at the same, if not more speed. May Allah say, make it easy for one and all. So in this age of fitna, when the enemy out there is not after our wealth, when the enemy out there is not after our oil, they may think that they may after the oil. The enemy out there is not after our houses. The enemy out there is after our iman. How can I take away the iman from these Muslims? How can I take them away from masajid? How can I take them away from scholars? How can the link between ulama and the students become far? Go to the previous countries, previous which was part of the USSR, before it was, now it has been split into so many different little countries. Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan. These were places which was rich with knowledge. Today you go there, people, they don't even know how to recite Salah properly. They didn't even know how to read Quran properly. Why? Because the link between ulama, between the muhaddithin and the locals became far. So the ulama, they left this world one by one. There was nobody to take that knowledge. There was nobody to take their place. That place became empty. Now people know. People here, people in India, people in South Africa, people in UK are reading Bukhari. But people in Bukhara, they don't even know the basics of Islam. People around the world are reading Tirmizi. But people in Tirmizi, they don't even know the basics of Islam. How did this happen? Because the locals were not benefiting from the scholars of the time. They were not valuing the scholars of the time. But then we complain, the scholars of the past, we can't compare the scholars of today like Imam Ghazali, and we can't compare the scholars of today like Allama Rumi, and we can't compare the scholars of today with Allama Suyuti and these individuals. But are we the same student who they had? If we want scholars like that to be today, we need to be students like that. We want ulama to be like Imam Abu Hanifa, but are we like Imam Abu Yusuf? Are we like Imam Muhammad? When Imam Muhammad came to get admission to the academy of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa says, no, only Hafiz of Quran allowed. We only, one of the criteria of getting admission into this institute, only Hafiz of the Quran, nothing. If you're not Hafiz, you go elsewhere. 1 week later, he comes back. He says, I want admission. Imam said, I told you last week, only Hafiz of Quran are allowed, that's the criteria. So he said, I have become a Hafiz in 1 week. If those were the students which Allah gave, are we like these? May Allah give us understanding. Imam Abu Yusuf attended the gatherings of Imam Abu Hanifa for 16 years. Never missed a day. Never missed a day. The day he got married, never missed a day. The day he had a son, never missed a day. Today somebody else's wedding, we have to take a whole week off. When my cousin's getting married, there's a wedding in the family. Sorry, won't be attending the classes. My sister's wedding. My brother's wedding. He himself got married, never missed a day. One day his son passed away. His son died, his little son. So he told the neighbors, please, this has happened, please. Do the janazah, wash the body, do the kafan, dafan. I need to go class, I can't miss my lesson. 16 years! Are we those type of students? May Allah make us like this. Then we can have teachers like these as well. But the scholars that we have today, value them, appreciate them, go by them, learn from them, stay in the company. How do we know Sahaba? Each Sahabi, nearly every Sahabi perform Hajj. Do we call them Haji Abu Bakr, Haji Umar? Every Sahabi, they perform all the Salah. Do we call them Musallun? Every Sahabi could recite the Quran better than me and you because they learned it directly from Nabi alayhi salam. Do we call them Qari? How do we remember them as? Sahabi. Because of the companionship, the company of Nabi alayhi salam. It's not about the knowledge. It's about staying in the company of the pious people. Today it has become so amazing until you don't stay 1 year with a medical physician, you don't get a degree in medicine. But without staying anything, even a week with a scholar, it's easy putting the label of a scholar among yourself. Where have you learned it from? I just learned it on online. Webinars. I've learned it. Distant learning. Have you ever sat with a scholar? The world doesn't call a doctor without him doing 1 year training. How fragile we are that we are ready to call every person who hasn't spent any years in the suhbah of any ulama, we are ready to call him anything? May Allah give us understanding. Sahaba are known Sahaba because of the companionship of Nabi alayhi salam. They stayed in the company of Habib of Allah. They stayed in the company of the beloved of Allah. They became Maghadi Allah. They became those who Allah became happy with. They were the pleased ones. If we want those knowledgeable people, if we want to become something like them, we need to stay with them. Learning knowledge from the right places. So Musa alayhi salam is going somewhere after walking for nearly 2 days, he meets up with Khidr. Allah has mentioned this in Surah Al-Kahf. I am mentioning the reason where we went off the topic is we need to recite Surah Al-Kahf at the time of every fitna. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it, the greatest fitna of the fitna of Dajjal. The way to challenge it, the way to tackle it is to recite Surah Al-Kahf. That is the greatest fitna. If Surah Al-Kahf could solve the greatest of fitna, will it not solve the small fitna that we have today? May Allah give us understanding. So Allah has mentioned this story in that surah. So Musa alayhi salam is going with Khidr alayhi salam. Now they got on a boat. And a bird comes on the side of the boat and it starts drinking some of the water from the ocean. So Khidr alayhi salam says to Musa alayhi salam, have you seen how much this bird has just drunk? maybe just a few sips. She said, has it decreased anything from the ocean? She said, how can it be? It's nothing compared to the ocean. She said, my knowledge and your knowledge put together compared to the knowledge of Allah is even less than what this bird has just taken from the ocean. It doesn't mean anything. Allah is the most knowledgeable. Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlawi Rahimahullah writes that there were certain times in my life when I was writing books, Hujjatullah al-Baligha and other books, Izadatul Khifa. There were times when I couldn't understand an issue. There were times when I couldn't really put my hand in understanding it. I had to put my head down, cry in front of Allah. Ya Mu'allima Ibrahim, allimni. O the one who gave knowledge to Ibrahim, give me knowledge. Ya Mufahima Sulaiman, fahimni. O the one who made Sulaiman understand, make me understand. I had to do this so many times. Allah opened up the doors of knowledge for me. Today we may just Google it. Who will go into sajda today? And who will make this dua today? Ya Mu'allima Ibrahim, allimni. Ya Mufahima Sulaiman, fahimni. And let me add one more dua to it. Nabi alayhi salam called Abdullah ibn Mas'ud the faqih of this ummah. Ya mufaqih ibn Mas'ud, faqihni. O the one who gave understanding, faqaha to ibn Mas'ud, give me understanding as well. Gaining knowledge from the right places. When the sahabi, he came to Nabi alayhi salam, O Prophet of Allah, I wish to become the most knowledgeable. Uridu an akuna a'lam an-nas. Nabi alayhi salam said, ittaqi Allah. Fear Allah, takun a'lam an-nas. Wattaqu Allah wa yu'allimukum Allah. You fear Allah and Allah will teach you. Today we don't want to give up our evils. We don't want to give up our evil habits. We don't want to give up our sins that we are committing in part of our life. Yet we want to become the greatest imam of the time. فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ مِّنْ إِلَٰهِ. The knowledge is a nur from Almighty Allah. It's not something which you will find on websites, something which you will find. You will have to humble yourself. Sit with the people of knowledge. Put your head down in front of Allah. Ask Allah, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Even Nabi alayhi salam himself was told to make this dua. And then Allah will give you that knowledge. وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُؤْطَى لِعَاصِي. This nur is not given to anybody and everybody. Is only given to those who Allah selects. Not those who the people elect, but those who Allah selects. Allah selects people for the knowledge of deen. We need to turn to Allah. We need to sacrifice for knowledge. We need to give our time to knowledge. We need to give our life for knowledge. We need to give our wealth for knowledge. We need to give our health for knowledge. We need to give our life for knowledge. We give everything to knowledge. We do everything. Then we may end up with a little bit. We may end up with something. But today we don't want to give anything to knowledge. And then we act as if we know so much. One is a person, he doesn't know anything. But he acts as if it's like that puddle. It seems that there's so much water there, but there's nothing there in reality. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were deep in their knowledge. That is why Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was sitting in the masjid of Ta'if. He was sitting inside the masjid of Ta'if. And the adhan happened. So he started crying. So people said, O Ibn Abbas, ma hadha al-jaza' wa ma hadha al-faza'? What is this crying? What is this weeping? We hear the adhan, we don't cry. We hear the adhan, we don't cry. She said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ مَا يَقُولُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ. If only the people was to know what this muazzin is saying, they will never sleep, they will never take a rest. So then the people that were there, they said, please explain to us what this muazzin is saying. Please explain to us. We want to know. She started explaining the words of the adhan. 15 or 17. In the normal adhan 15, Fajr adhan 17. In the normal adhan, in the adhan 15, in the iqama 17. So the narrator says he explained it in such a way that if there was a non-Muslim in that gathering, he would have accepted Islam. What does Allah has kept? Deep knowledge. If only this same adhan could bring us to the masjid for five times salah. It's so powerful that the narrator says the way Abdullah ibn Abbas explained it. If there was a non-Muslim in that gathering, he would have come into Islam, he would have left his kufr. Today, is it making us leave our occupations and bring it to the masjid? May Allah give us understanding. So we've got the knowledge, or we think we've got the knowledge, but is it helping us? Is it uniting us? Is it filling our hearts with taqwa? The Path to Piety program? Is it filling my life with piety? Is it filling my life with piety? Is it filling my heart with piety? May Allah give us understanding. So this is the first session. Let me make it like an introduction session. Because the other shuyukh are the main speakers. I'm just here just to give you a little introduction to the main things. Just like a starter, you can say. The main dishes are coming. So let us sit here with the right intention, with the hope that we are sitting in the company of scholars. We are trying to take knowledge from the right places, and we will try to change our life through this knowledge. This knowledge will try to get it into our lives, our hearts. We'll ask Allah to accept this knowledge from us, to change this knowledge into actions, so that we may live in this world with this knowledge. We may die with this knowledge, and we can get Jannah because of acting upon this knowledge. So this is not only a Path to Piety program, in reality, in the long run, it's the Path to Paradise program. If we do it the right way. May Allah first of all give me the ability to seek knowledge from the right places, where it should be seek from. We can get information from here and there. If we are traveling somewhere, we just need to know the flight details. If we just want to make sure everything is in place, we can take the information from them. If we just want to make things sure. But to get the right guidance, we need to go to the right people. We don't take a prescription from online. Why do we start taking rulings of Sharia online? I've got a headache, let me just Google it. What's the ruling for a headache? So I can just print a prescription out, go to the chemist, over and done with. Now if I go to make and phone the doctor appointment, now he'll charge. Now by the time I get the appointment, 2 days later maybe, sometimes busy. All this headache I have to go through, go there, wait in the queue, pay the person. If I don't have health insurance in America, maybe in Canada, different rules. Let me just print it online. Easy job done. Nobody does that. Because I don't want to put my life in danger. But when it comes to learning knowledge, we do that same thing, which we won't do it for our health. We don't mind risking our iman. We don't want to risk our life. But we don't mind risking our iman. May Allah forgive. Go to the right places. The right shuyukh. I've given you the two qualities to look for. Whose public life, whose private life is the same. Who not only talks Quran and Sunnah, who walks the Quran and Sunnah. Who not only propagates the knowledge, the knowledge in him is active. And the second quality, he doesn't insult anybody. He doesn't talk bad about anybody. He doesn't attack any institutions. He doesn't attack any groups. He doesn't attack any individuals. He just sticks to himself. He just sticks to guiding people. He just sticks to teaching people, making the people know the right way. And then people automatically get guided. If we find these two qualities in a person, and he's knowledgeable, and people around him are benefiting from him, and people, his seniors have a good opinion about him, take knowledge from him. The youth will go for anybody. Today we are not listening to the seniors. We are just looking at the views on YouTube. We are just looking at the follower digit on the social media. We are just looking at the likes. Oh, he's got so much likes. He must be a scholar. He's got so much views. He must be the man. Who did he study from? What does his teacher say about him? What does his elder say about him? What does his senior say about him? Is he really the right person to guide the ummah? Is he really the right person to take ruling of Sharia from? These are the things we need to do. Practical things, I'm telling you. May Allah first of all give me the ability to take my knowledge from the right places. Give all of us the ability to take our knowledge from the right places. That is why these programs are being organized, so that we could get these little chances, so that we can get a zeal to look for more people of knowledge, to go out, to give the sacrifice. This has been arranged in our area, but the main is we leave the area, we go to other places. Sahaba, they give sacrifice for knowledge. Tabi'in, they give sacrifice for knowledge. Elders, they give sacrifice for knowledge. We need to give sacrifice for knowledge. May Allah first of all give me the ability, give all of us the ability. Ameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.